The festival of All Saints Day that we celebrate today is one that, if we're not careful, could quite easily be abused and misused. That happens when we take the focus off of Jesus and put it on ourselves or other humans instead of keeping it where it belongs, on Him. Nevertheless, it is a wonderful holiday when used correctly that reminds us of everything that God has, the Lord our God has done for those who have gone before us, and that He has done for us as well. And Psalm 84 is just a beautiful psalm that reminds us that our strength and our blessing and our forgiveness and our life is a gift from God. And it reminds us of what it is like to walk and to live in the tabernacle of the Lord. We read from the Psalms, Psalm 84. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. The Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. So far the word of the Lord. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. Those of you who know Tommy Pekara may have heard him talk about his grandma. He mentions her to me quite a bit. He describes her as a woman full of faith and talks about how he saw the confidence and the trust and just the peace that she had from that faith. Many of the people on our list of departed saints this morning may very well be described in similar terms. People who found rest in Jesus Christ and who learned how to put aside the fears and the anxieties of this world, knowing that the Lord their God is a refuge for His people. The book of Hebrews urges us not to forget such people, but to remember them. To remember them as an example to us, and also to remember, more importantly, what Jesus, what our the Lord our God has done for them. And Psalm 84 that we just read echoes the same sentiment, reminding us of the rest, strength, and service that we receive through Jesus. It describes what it's like to be a saint on this earth and reminds us that our strength comes not from ourselves, but from the Lord our God. If you look again at verse 3, the psalmist reminds us that even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young, even your altars, O Lord of hosts. A saint is somebody who finds refuge, finds rest in the Lord our God. You may remember that the tabernacle, both the tabernacle and the temple in the Old Testament, were mostly just an open courtyard. There was a wall around a large open space. The altar upon which the animals were sacrificed were there open to the sky. There was a building with the Holy of Holies in the middle, but that was only a small part. It's easy to imagine then how the birds may have flown in there and made their nests on the roofs, in the rafters, even, the psalmist says, on the very altar of the Lord of hosts. It would have been a very good place if you're a bird to make a nest the predators outside would not have been let in. And it sounds as though the psalmist is suggesting that the priests themselves neither shot nor laid traps for those birds. It was a safe and secure place for them to find rest. The psalmist meditates on this truth and uses it as a metaphor for how we take refuge, find rest in the Lord our God. This is something that we often forget in our lives, that we are surrounded by the Lord and held in His hand, safe and secure. God promises in another psalm that those who take refuge in Him do not have to fear the fowler's traps. When I was in Africa back in 2015, that's a few years ago now, some of the pastors over there were convinced that the end of the world was coming, not 10 years, 50 years, 100 years. They were convinced the end of the world was coming next year. And the reason for this was because a woman was running for president of the United States. I had a hard time convincing them that a female president is not the end of the world, even if she had one. There are all kinds of things that we have a tendency to get worked up about in this life. This thing or that thing happens, and we're convinced it's the end of the world. Even if we don't mean it literally, we're convinced that, oh, it's just going to change everything. Some of you probably remember Y2K and all the turbulence around that. Oh, what's going to happen? The psalmist reminds us we don't need to get all worked up about the changes and the tribulations in this world. We are living in God's house. God is our refuge and strength, protecting us from the problems of this world. There's always going to be a new threat rising or on the horizon. War, disease, plague, politics, inflation. But we, the saints, are safe in the hands of God. That doesn't mean, of course, that those things won't affect us. Sometimes we might have to pay more at the gas pump or for our groceries. We may have to live through turbulence and tribulation. You can think of the Christians living in Germany during World War II and before it and the problems they had, or even in this country during the Great Depression. But through it all, we know that our God surrounds us. He will bring us through it. He will work all things for good. And in the end, He will take us out of this world to be with Him in heaven. As Martin Luther reminds us in his beautiful hymn, they can take everything from us. They can take our goods, our fame, our wealth, and even our wife and children. And Satan still will have won nothing, because the victory remains ours through Jesus Christ. Just as those birds found refuge in the temple of the Lord, so the saints of God find refuge in Christ. Verse 7 goes on to describe that the saints, they go from strength to strength, and each one will appear before God in Zion. And this reminds us that the saints of God are those who trust not in our ability. Our attitude isn't, "You can do it," but we put our trust and our strength in Christ. Our attitude is, "He's already done it for us." Some of you may have seen that movie that was based on that time when they were trying to rescue those whales up in the polar regions. You know how when the ice or when the oceans begin to freeze over, the whales have to find pockets where the water isn't frozen so they can breathe, and they have to go from pocket to pocket until they reach the warmer waters. Similarly, the Israelite pilgrimages on their way to Jerusalem couldn't make the journey, well, some of them anyway, some of them couldn't make the journey all in one day. They had to go from village to village. They had to stop and rest along the way, take a rest for the noon meal probably, take a rest at night so that they'd be refreshed and could continue the journey the next day. Nowadays, we can go a lot further without stopping, but we still have to stop for gas and food and rest at night. That's what the psalmist is describing here, how in our journey through this life, we need to make sure we're going from strength to strength, that we're stopping to be refreshed and strengthened by God's word, or we're never going to make it to the end. But when we are continually, daily strengthened by God through his word and through his message of forgiveness, then each one will appear before God in Zion. The Apostle Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 1:5 that we are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The journey is too great for us. It's not something we can accomplish with our own strength, but God daily refreshes us and strengthens us so that we too may come to the end. Verse 6 of our psalm, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. This verse reminds us that the saints of God are those who drink so deeply of God's grace and love and forgiveness that it just spills out of us, all around of us, sharing that forgiveness that God has given us and that grace and his love with others. The children will no doubt tell you that most mornings I'm here with a cup of coffee as I do morning devotions and catechism classes. And I found throughout the years it's really important that I put that coffee in a mug with a lid on top, because otherwise it's going to be spilling out the whole way over here. I've gotten it on my shoes a couple times when I couldn't find a lid for my coffee cup. That's what the psalmist is talking about here, that we are so filled with God's grace that it's just spilling out of us. The New King James translates this as Valley of Baca, but older translations have Valley of Sorrow. It's where we get that term, Vale of Sorrow, which is often a metaphor, a description of life on this earth. Sometimes we use it to describe a particular difficult time. As we go through tribulation, as we go through our life on this earth, we leave behind springs of water, not because of who we are, not because we're always cheerful or always upbeat, not because we're such good people, but because we leave behind that gospel of Jesus Christ. There are many who will tell you that religion is the source of all strife and evil on this earth, and there's no end of examples they can point to of people who, in the name of God, have done terrible and atrocious things. But of course, that's not who the psalmist is talking about here. It's talking about those who put their trust in the Lord. Jesus reminds us in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Not those who use the sword to try and force others to their way of thinking, but those who proclaim the peace and the grace and the love of God. The prophet Isaiah reminds us, Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. The saints are described as springs in the desert because of that wonderful message that we have to share, that same message that the angels proclaimed to the shepherds. There is born to you this night in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Many of us might not be super cheerful or super positive or always upbeat, but each one of us has this superpower from Christ that we are able to tell others about the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, that we are able to be forgiven and to share that forgiveness. Just a couple weeks ago, I happened to run into somebody whom I thought was upset, angry with me for something that happened a little bit before that. But when I met this individual, he greeted me like a long-lost friend. So good to see you. It was really refreshing to meet someone I thought maybe was angry with me, and instead to receive good news and that forgiveness. And this is what we are able to do. Instead of holding grudges, holding on to anger, we who are forgiven by Christ are able to share this good news that they are forgiven, and to forgive one another, and to be that encouragement, to be those springs of water in this difficult and troublesome world. Again, that is a power that comes from Christ, who has forgiven us. In verse 5, the psalmist says, "Blessed are those whose heart is set on pilgrimage." And so a saint is someone who keeps their eyes on Jesus Christ. Other translations have their hearts are set on ascent. And it's probably talking about those who are following that road up to Jerusalem. No matter where you came from, it was always going up to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was up on a high hill. I don't think we should call it a mountain. It's not that high, but a high hill. And so you had to go up to Jerusalem. As their eyes were set on that goal, the Lord's house, as they journeyed up to Jerusalem. And so it's a metaphor for us to keep our eyes on Christ and on heaven and on the goal that is to come. The book of Hebrews reminds us that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were wanderers. If they wanted to, they could have built homes. They were very wealthy people. They could have had all the good things of this world. They could have found a permanent place, but instead they trusted God's promise, and their whole lives continued as wanderers, as pilgrims, looking forward to the promised land that God had promised them, and going home to heaven. So we also, even if we have permanent homes, we don't have to live in tents like they did. But we also keep our eyes focused on those things that are to come. We don't hold on to the things of this life, but we know that God has something far better in store for us. That heaven that we talked about with the kids. The eyes and the hearts of the saints are set on that life which is to come, and on Jesus who is waiting for us there. All the people on our list this morning went before us. They suffered. They worried. They went through tribulations and trials. They sinned and were forgiven. They were sinned against and learned how to forgive others. They had doubts, stumbled along the way, and maybe even fell for a short time. But in the end, they reached home. Not by their strength or by their power, not because they were so good and so perfect or better than the rest of us, but because despite their sins, they knew Jesus, who died for them, who cleansed them with his blood, and who was with them and protected them and strengthened them through the journeys of this life. We also persevere, not by our strength or power, and not because we are better than others, but because we know Jesus, who died for our sins and is with us to protect us and bring us to our heavenly home. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.